And now that I've turned on the microphone, you're not going to meow anymore, right? Yeah, okay, see you later. It's 1930 UTC. Kitty time. But not kitty time. It is actually time for the Dubious Goals Committee. A show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC. Right here on Anon Radio. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of this committee. And there's two things that I love. Tea and football. And my favorite thing to do is to drink tea. It's good. While I watch football. And that's what I'm doing right now. Drinking tea and watching football. I'm watching the Watford game. And it's about to go to halftime. In 4 minutes, the fourth official is holding up the magic number sign, telling us 4 minutes. 4 minutes to play. Yay! I do like football. And if I remember correctly, yes, here it is. Here in 2 hours and 15 minutes, we've got an episode of The Men in Blazers, a new episode of Men in Blazers. So I'm looking forward to that. Oh my God. Chelsea just scored. A beautiful goal by Eden Hazard. He is so awesome. Didn't see that coming. Well, I mean, if anybody was going to score, it's probably going to be him. Now, see, look how this gets set up. They're at the halfway line. They get it away from the Watford dudes. And who is that on the break? Feeds it to Eden Hazard. He just pretty much walks it into the goal. Crazy. After Men in Blazers, there's a new off-script with Graham Lasso. And then Premier League World is on with Sir Alex. And then after that, the first highlights show. That's 2 hours. And then at 9, a replay of the best game of the weekend. And then at 11, off script again. And then Premier League download at 1 a.m. Oh, and Premier League World. Jeez, there's lots of Premier League stuff. It's all Premier League stuff on this channel today. That's awesome. That's almost as good as having the Premier League channel. Pretty happy. Oh, they're flashing a graphic up on the screen stating that this is the 100th goal for Eden Hazard for the Chelsea club. So that's great. Oh, geez, Watford had another really good chance there. Trying to get one back before they go to halftime. And they got about 30 seconds to play before the halftime whistle blows. Oh, man, I'm having a rough and brutal day. Had a weird night. And then I woke up at 9 o'clock. Oh my God, Watford just scored with 5 seconds left to play. What's this guy's name? Is it Pervert? It looked like it said Pervert on the back of his on the back of his jersey. Wow, this is crazy. Crazy craziness. Suddenly, this Watford and Chelsea game got super exciting. I mean, I was watching it for 44 minutes. 45 minutes, I watched the entire first half thinking, oh, this isn't going anywhere. I think I'll just start doing Dubious Goals Committee. They're going to go to halftime here in a minute anyway. Let's just start doing the show. So he starts doing the show. And suddenly, the game explodes. Oh, it's Pariah. Yeah, I know this guy. Okay. And so now we're in the 49th minute, actually the 50th minute, 49:05, 49:06, 49:07. I think Chelsea's just going to sit here and waste time until the referee blows the whistle. And it looks like he's about to blow it, and he does. And that's halftime. Hooray. Yeah, so anyway, I've been having a weird morning. I woke up at 9 o'clock when I thought I heard somebody knock on my door. I don't know why I thought it. I don't think anybody was actually at my door, because I didn't hear the screen door open. The sound I heard was, you know, the sound of somebody knocking on my wooden door. And that woke me up, and then I was listening, and I didn't hear, like, the screen door close. And I thought, well, that's weird. And I eventually did go outside to check, but no mail or anything. It was bizarre. So I couldn't go back to sleep. So I watched football. And then while I was watching football, I did fall asleep. And then I didn't wake up for another 2 hours. Until just before this game started. I didn't go to bed all that late. I messed up today, and I cannot afford to get my sleep schedule off so much. Do I need to do some stuff today? I do need to go to the store, sort of. Do I have food? Yeah, I've got food, but I'm gonna have to get some more food. And I gotta go today in case any weird stuff. I got so much weird stuff going on. Oh, I don't even want to talk about it. What I do want to do, however, is drink some more tea. Oh, it's so yummy. Oh, yummy. I almost had to kill the rest of the cup. Still might be doing that. Might have to be making some tea today. Oh, I just realized that today is my great-grandfather's birthday. No, it's not today. I keep getting confused, because today is 1-2, the second day of January. And my grandfather was actually born on 3-2-1. Not 1-2-3. 3-2-1. March 2nd, 1901. Oh, yeah. Why did I even think of that right now? I have no idea. It's kind of a strange thought to come to my head unbidden. But that's the way it works. Numbers trigger strange memories. And then I gotta deal with it. Okay, so we're at halftime. What else is on? Ooh, 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. I watched it a couple months ago. It was okay. I don't even know what I'm looking for. Mahjong and the West is on. A movie that always makes me want to try to watch it, and then I discover that, it's not actually about Mahjong. That's one thing I do feel is missing from my life, is playing Mahjong. It's true that I don't have a lot of money to gamble with, but, you know, I could probably find a friendly group to play with. Ow, my shoulder hurts. Maybe that's what I should do. Maybe I need to go over to the Chinese Cultural Association, which is sort of, you know, the Chinese community center. And it's actually in my old neighborhood. In my old childhood neighborhood. It is in the Brook. Not 100 yards up the street from where... Well, actually, it's more than that. I was going to say 100 yards away from the Dragon's Lair. But no, the Dragon's Lair moved. And blah, blah, blah. And that reminds me, did I tell you the Dragon's Lair moved again? Now they're right across the parking lot from Romeo's Mexican Food and Pizza. So you can go have tacos and then you can just, you know, walk like 30 meters and go to the Dragon's Lair if you're that type of person. If you're the kind of person who needs to eat tacos and go to the Dragon's Lair, which I am, precisely that type of person. So anyway, let's check to see what's on TCM tonight. Oh, Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House is on right now. And then Topper comes on in 20 minutes. The Cary Grant one. Then North by Northwest, Smokey and the Bandit. Nice, on TCM. Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, here's a bit of Smokey and the Bandit trivia for you. What was the name, and when I say the name, I mean his actual government name. What was the name of Burt Reynolds' character in Smokey and the Bandit? That's a tricky one. It's not Bandit. That's not his name. That's his CB handle. And he actually does say his name. He tells his name to one person during the film. Oh, and it must be Burt Reynolds' night, because coming up right after Smokey and the Bandit, we have Deliverance, and then The Longest Yard, and then Hooper. Oh my God, at 1:15. I might actually have to watch some of that. I haven't seen that since I was a kid. And then after Hooper, Smokey and the Bandit 2, and then it's 5 a.m. for Best Friends. We got Burt Reynolds' Goldie Hawn, and then The Wasp Woman. So we have all Burt Reynolds tonight until 7 a.m. And then some good stuff tomorrow, too. Okay. So anyway, if you're wondering what Burt Reynolds' character's name is in the Smokey and the Bandit franchise, that character's name is Bo Darville. And that's a good one to use. If you ever need a funny pseudonym, somebody ever asks you your name and you don't want to give them your real name, say Bo Darville. Because, yeah, it's fake and it's funny, but, you know, nobody knows who Bo Darville is. So that's always a good one to know. Bo Darville. Smokey and the Bandit. What a cheesy, crazy movie. And you're not going to believe this. Maybe you will. You should, because this is the truth. Just like all the things going on here on the Dubious Goals Committee. I actually saw Smokey and the Bandit in the theaters. Can you believe that? It's true. And I was young. I'm not going to tell you how old I was, because then you'll be able to figure out my age. Because you could look up when Smokey and the Bandit came out. And to be perfectly honest, I don't remember exactly how old I was. But was I still... Yeah, I don't know. But the only reason I saw it in the theaters, you know, my parents wouldn't have thought to take me to it. And, you know, Smokey and the Bandit wasn't a real high-profile movie. It wasn't on my radar. I hadn't heard of it. I didn't know what we were going to go see. You got to understand, I was at my friend's birthday party. My friend Mike, who lived two houses down the street, he was having a birthday party, and we all went to a movie. Maybe, 8, 9, or 10 neighborhood kids. And we went to see Smokey and the Bandit. And And it was hilarious. I don't mean the movie was hilarious. The experience of going to this movie with these guys was hilarious. And I'm out of tea, so you know what's happening now. It's tea-making time as he attempts to get up off the floor. Yeah. And so, yes, I actually did go see Smokey and the Bandit as a child. And I laughed my head off. I thought it was great. Because, you know, the movie is made for that kind of mentality. When I say that kind of mentality, I mean young boy. It's an interesting movie, and I do like to watch it from time to time for a couple of reasons. Just to, you know, enjoy the nostalgia, because I remember seeing it as a little kid. Pour out the sugar here. Oh, I got just the right amount. And also, the thing about Smokey and the Bandit that's so weird is, you know, it was just meant to be sort of a throwaway summer, you know, just cash grab. The movie was made on the cheap. It was a B movie at best. It really was. And you watch it today and you can realize it. You know, it's sort of edited crappily and it's not filmed so great. And, I'm trying to think. What's the guy's name who directed that? Hal Needham. Hal Needham was not a regular film director. Hal Needham was a stunt coordinator and second unit director. But somehow he got this movie and he put it together and, you know, it looks like a second unit director put it together. If you know anything about movies, there's always the second unit director. The second unit is a film crew that goes out and films all the stuff in the movie that doesn't really have anything to do with driving the plot along. What's the cat doing here? Hi, what are you yanging about?
We're not going outside. It's too cold.
Yeah, you're a good baby. Second unit director, you know, gets told by the main director to go film some sunsets. Go film a car crash or whatever. And that's the second unit director's job. Or sometimes when movies are filmed in, are supposed to be filmed in foreign countries, what happens is, and they're really made in America, you know, they make the movie on the back lot of some Hollywood studio. Then they tell the second unit director, you know, fly down to Mexico and get some establishing shots so people will think that this movie takes place in Mexico. So the second unit director flies down to Mexico, films a bunch of stuff, sunsets, famous buildings, you know, stuff like that. Well, Hal Needham was a classic second unit director, and he was a stunt guy. He was a stunt man, stunt director. So whenever stunts had to go down, blah, 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 we'll get Hal Needham to do it. Well, as you know, Smokey and the Bandit is just, it's nothing but a stunt movie. It's just one long car chase. What is your business? Hi, you're a good baby. You want some kitty water? Okay. Now we gotta get the kitty some kitty water. So Smokey and the Bandit, here you go, here's your kitty water. Drink it up. Smokey and the Bandit was made on the cheap. It wasn't supposed to be a big epic blockbuster. Drink your water. Drink your water and shut your kitty trap. Yes, you're my baby. Where was I going with this? Yeah, so Smokey and the Bandit wasn't supposed to be any big movie, but it exploded. You know, I don't even think they released it. I saw a documentary about the film once, trying to remember, but I don't think they fully released it throughout the country. They originally just released it down in the South, you know, in NASCAR territory, and people went absolutely nuts for it. Absolutely crazy, and that started up the momentum, and then they released it across the country, and Smoking the Bandit made a lot of money just because it was made cheap but exploded. Just drink your kitty water. Meow, you're a baby. So businesslike. And that's one of the reasons I like to watch Smokey and the Bandit, just because, you know, knowing these things, knowing that this was just a cheap sort of B movie, you watch the film and you go, yeah, okay, yeah, this is... Oh, now we gotta pour the water. I like to watch Smokey and the Bandit because it makes me think, geez, I could probably make a movie. Uh-oh. That's the last tea bag in that box. Good thing we got 4 more boxes of tea, plus that box of mulled tea, and how many? Yeah, we got about 4 or 5 tea bags in there, too. Okay, so yeah, tea. It's good, and it's probably good for you, too. Opening the tea bag. And we put the tea bag in the tea. Then we stick our nose in the tea bag pouch and squeeze it as we inhale. Oh, yeah. That's the stuff. All right, put the lid on the teacup. And we can go back downstairs. So the other great thing about Smoking the Bandit, you know, this, it's such a cheesy premise. It's just... but you need a cheesy premise to set up... you need a cheesy premise to set up the cheesy raison d'etre of this film, which is to have a film that is nothing but a car chase. And it was the first one. We had plenty of car chase movies come after it, but none had the success of Smokey and the Bandit. Smokey and the Bandit also came out during the height of the CB craze, or might have even contributed to the Citizens Band radio craze. You know, Citizens Band Radio, the original internet. Yeah, I was actually there for the CB thing, and it was great. It was crazy. And so, yeah, I like to watch Smokey and the Bandit just to sort of analyze it as a film. Because it's the first car chase film, it's like, well, how do you sort of classify or analyze a film that's the first of its genre? Well, it's hard because you've got nothing to compare it to. Except you sort of can. It's sort of like a modern version of the road movie. You know, think of all those, like, Bing Crosby and Bob Hope. Movies where they're traveling to somewhere and whatever. It's the same kind of thing where, okay, it's these two guys who are moving from one point to another. But yeah, it's just what a classic. I think I'm going to watch that tonight. And I know exactly what I'm going to see, because it seems like I saw it, seems like I watched it fairly recently, but it's recent enough that I can think of all of the bizarre scenes and edits where I would have done something a little bit differently to make it work out, but it makes no sense. And the plot has been bothering me for years. Because the big question is, was that for real? If you're not familiar with the story, basically, a rich guy decides that he wants to have some Coors beer. And he's wherever. They're in the South. Okay? Rich guy, Big Enos, he wants some Coors beer for a party he's going to have. But, and this is the weird part, according to the movie and legend, he can't sell Coors beer east of the Mississippi River. And so they have to bootleg it in. So they hire a bandit, Bo Darville, and his buddy, the Snowman, with his dog. What's the dog's name? Do you remember the dog's name? And they, he bets these guys that he... Needless to say, the bandit has to truck Coors beer across, you know, various state lines and across the river. Now, so the big question is, was it really illegal to sell Coors beer east of the Mississippi River back then? And, you know, if you think about it, this doesn't make any sense. Why would any product be banned, you know, according to geography, you know, on one side of a river but not the other, and blah, blah, blah. So this comes into question. This plot point, the entire plot point, kind of doesn't make any sense. But I've thought about it for a long time. I've thought about it for decades. And the only thing I could think of is this. It's not that it was necessarily illegal to sell the beer on the other side of the river. It's just you need to know a couple of things. Back then, back when the movie was made, Coors beer was unpasteurized. Okay? And that was unusual. That was kind of the selling point of Coors beer. That's what made it kind of special and taste so different and blah, blah, blah. It was unpasteurized. And so, okay, the other thing you need to know is that Coors beer is only produced in one place in the United States, and that's Golden, Colorado. It's not like Budweiser where they have plants, you know, all over the country making beer for the entire regions. No, Coors beer is only made in one place. And now you got to think, how long would it take to ship beer from Golden, Colorado to the South or across the Mississippi River? Well, that's about a two-day drive. Okay, and then you got to wonder, well, how do you keep the beer safe food-wise? You know, you can, how long does a refrigerated truck last, etc., etc. So I've always sort of wondered, did they just not sell Coors beer on that side of the Mississippi River just because, you know, it would take too long to ship it and the beer would go bad, or at least the beer would be at risk? So that's my theory. Today, it's not true. You can buy Coors beer pretty much anywhere. But I do remember as a child, people did go to Colorado just to get Coors beer and stuff, just like they go there for weed now. But anyway, I got to get back to watching this game, so I'll see you later. You have been listening to the Dubious Beer Pasteurization Theory Committee for Smokey and the Bandit. A show that airs every day, but I'm out of here for now, so bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.